Hey everybody, welcome to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And this is episode number 204. And guys, we talked a little bit about the trades and things that had already gone in the past few days. Episode 203, if you guys are looking for a lot of that trade talk, I would absolutely direct you to go check that one out after we're done here, obviously, of course. don't want you guys leaving us. But we are going to touch on the Hurdle trade just a little bit, maybe a little bit later on here, just to kind of have our final thoughts, I think. Maybe just kind of wrapping it all up, and we can finally just push that in the past and be done with it. But, you know, for tonight's episode, mostly we're going to be focusing on the past week of games and whatnot. So, again, if you'd like to see more about the trade talks after we're done here, go ahead and check out the previous episode. While you're here, though, if you could please reach out to your other Sharks friends and family. If you're going to be enjoying the show, you know you have because you've been here before. Certainly reach out to them. Let them know that we are live. Get them in the chat. Get them talking with us and with you. It's a lot more fun. We have more people in here. So please, if you can, get that share, the repost, the retweet, the re-everything. Just do things again. Re-everything. So yeah, anyways, if you could do that, that'd be awesome. Also, we'll get you an opportunity to get the people in here by saying, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that with the Super Chat function. And of course, you can also do that with Venmo at the Fin Factor. Either one of those, you put something in the comment section there and it will alert us that you've got a comment for us. And we will go ahead and say that live on the show. If you do it late, that's fine. We can do it in the next show. No big deal. You can also support the show by going to thefinfactor.com, checking out any of the merch that we have for sale. There is a support the show link. You can get cool hats, shirts, sweatshirts, water bottles, nailed it, stickers, beanies, camera covers, eyeglass cases. I'm just making things up now.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway, but you know, maybe they'll go and check it out and they'll find something that they like.
They'll say, Paul's a liar.
I'm absolutely 100% lying on some of those. But it's up to you to go and find out which ones. So yeah, if you could check that out and support the show, that would really be appreciated. Thank you guys so much. Aaron, we had a week of hockey, sort of. I mean, some of these games were really good. Some of these games were a little tight and some of these were not so hot.
It's kind of weird. It's half the week is one team and the other half is the other team post-trade deadline. So it's kind of weird going back through these and seeing the guys that are no longer on the team.
Yeah, and we've got some stats that we're pulling out for Anthony Duclair, say, and that's going to be the end of us ever saying that name on this show, other than as an opponent, right? So yeah. It's a little bittersweet. Obviously, some names more important to us than others, but we'll go ahead and get to those in just a bit. But Aaron, let's go ahead and kick off the show here. We were talking about games in the previous week. The first one we wanted to talk about was Sharks against the Stars. This was one game where the Sharks had a commanding lead, 6-3, I believe they're going into the third period, and it just all fell apart.
I was watching this, and I was like, oh, man. It's funny, it's a 3-goal lead, does not feel safe going into the final minutes here. And I was kind of hoping, like, okay, come on, the Dallas Stars, they're going to lose again to the Sharks here. Like, or not lose again, I'm sorry, they beat them in Dallas, I think. Dallas won in maybe an overtime.
It was a tight, well-contested game, in other words. Yes. Yeah, and then it seemed like we were going to blow them out. We got 6-3, and then all of a sudden, it falls apart for us again.
Yeah, and those final couple minutes after it was 6-3, I was like, oh, this isn't going to hold well. Just based on watching the game and seeing how the Sharks were kind of just, you know, getting sloppy, bad mistakes on their end, all that stuff, and it was going to come back to bite them. And sure enough, they score a goal with, 8 minutes left, even under 8 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And then another one shortly after. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And sure enough, they tied it maybe 2 minutes later after that. So I was laughing. I just, at this point in the season, I just laugh. We had talked about it the week before, too, as well, about how the trade deadline is kind of a mental mind games on some of the players, because a lot of them on the Sharks roster were pending UFAs and possible rentals for other teams. So mm-hmm. they didn't know if they were going to be moving or not. So at this point, the players just kind of play less of a team game and more for themselves to, I don't know, pad their stats kind of.
Get that last little push of, hey, you do want me on your team.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of. So, sure enough, and I'll get into this in a couple games later and explain the difference here, but this extended their losing streak to 7 games, I believe, or 8 games. But yeah, they ended up going to overtime, and Rupin scores the winner in overtime. But
yeah, Brycar pulling the same sentiment right here. It says, I knew the Sharks would find a way to lose. Went up 6-3. That's so Sharks. Yeah. Hey, you know what? And again, for me, I'm okay with this. You know, my only wish was, if you're going to lose the game, With an epic collapse like that, why not just lose it in regulation and not take the point?
Yes.
Right. But, you know, I guess, again, we go back to why did we watch the Sharks this season, right? Obviously, because we have this show and we have to entertain you guys. But beyond that, because we're looking at, you know, certain players, the growth, right? Mm. And we're looking for entertainment, really, more than anything else. Yeah, losing sucks. I get it, guys. Don't get me wrong. And it doesn't seem like it's very entertaining to constantly pick up L's every single day, every single week. Right, but for us, it's more about, is this an entertaining game? And then 13 goals got scored in this game. You can't really say that it wasn't entertaining. Maybe disappointing, but I wouldn't say not entertaining.
It was extremely entertaining because it was kind of not quite back and forth, but there was a lot of tense moments in the game. And then when they tied it, you know, you just feel the dam kind of breaking and like, oh, this is it. They're not going to win this game. There's no way they're going to win this in overtime.
Yeah, so notably, a couple Sharks players here. Well, former Shark player, Anthony Duclair, 2 goals, 2 assists in this game. Again, as you had said, kind of giving that last little push to say, hey, whatever teams are interested in me, I'm hot right now, and I will continue to be hot. You might want to trade for me, pick me up, give me an opportunity at a Stanley Cup. So good on him. You know, he picks up 4 points in this game, and eventually the Tampa Bay Lightning do make the trade, pick him up. And he's doing well there as well, correct? He had 2 points in his first game?
Yeah, he only played one game so far and had a goal and assist in it. So continuing his streak of scoring.
Yeah.
It's good for him.
Excellent. So Anthony Duclair doing well away from the Sharks in this game. Again, picking up 4 points in a losing effort, but still. And then was it Zetterlund with a goal and 2 assists, I believe, in this game. So pick up 3 points himself. I mean, Zetterlund is looking better and better and better now when we take a look at the Timo Meier trade.
Absolutely.
Right? And all the pieces that we got. And I'm trying to remember, and I really wanted to go back and look at this, and I just forgot to do it, to look at our show on the trade deadline last year.
That's
right?
A good one.
Yeah. And just kind of see, like, hey, what were we talking about? What were we saying about this type of, you know, like for getting Zetterlund? Well, actually, was that trade deadline, though?
That was Timo Meier's trade, yeah. I think I might have meant, like, that week. I don't think it was, like, the day of the final day. But not so, like the Thomas Hertl trade. That was 10 minutes before the deadline.
That was insane how close that was. Yeah. So, in any case, I was thinking about looking back at that and going, okay, what were my initial thoughts and feelings on that one? I'm sure Nick is probably already knows what I had said. And he's going to say, don't you remember? What the hell?
I should go back to that.
So I think it'd be interesting. Maybe we'll look at that next time around. But, you know, I feel like perhaps I wasn't overly hyped about it. And, you know, there are times where things happen, trades like this, and we think, it's not as much as we would like, right? Or it's not the guys that we would like. I remember, what's his name, Mercer and Holtz, I think, is right?
Yeah.
So all the guys on that team that we were really hoping that we would get, you know, these blue chip prospects, guys are actually already kind of getting established in the NHL at the time and thinking that would be a great player to get back for Timo Meier. And we didn't get those, and we felt really disappointed about that, right? But seeing the players that we have and the way that they've shaken out in the past year or so, Zetterlund's really coming to his own as a steady, not even just steady, consistent NHL player. He's pretty consistent picking up points. Been very happy with his game. And then, of course, the other guys, Mook Madulin, these guys are really kind of showing up, and it's really kind of coming together why this trade made more sense for my career at the time.
I mean, a lot of people are dunking on this trade on Mike Greer because he didn't get that blue chip prospect coming back. But in what Mike Greer had said about this trade is he said, I think what he could have done is he could have gotten that, but he would have gotten much less pieces. So in that trade, they got a first round pick, which ended up Quinton Mustie, which is, I think, going to be a fantastic pick. They got Mook Madulin, who was also a first round draft pick. So they got 2 first round draft picks and then a second round that had conditions to it. Not going to make it, but that could have been 3 first-round picks for for one player, and then some other, I think, just kind of dump in players here. Scott Harrington, Amon Hataka, Ibrahim, I can't even say her name, 5th-round pick as well.
Not going to work anymore.
Not going to work anymore. And then the Sharks got a Hoychuk, who they just flipped for a 5th-round pick.
Right.
Zetterlund, Mook Madulin, Andreas Johnson, which is just a dump, and then that Quinton Mustie pick and the upcoming now 2nd-round draft pick for this upcoming draft. So, and the way Timo Meier has been playing, he's been much better in the last 2 weeks, but he's been injured most of the season, and he signed that 8-year extension, which is what he was looking for in San Jose, and the Sharks are kind of like, yeah, we're not there. Yeah. Same with what just happened with Hurdle. They got rid of Hurdle. So I consider this a win for San Jose, and also it's a good look back. I mean, you really won't know until a couple more years down the road. But imagine what if Timo Meier just is never the same player that he was in San Jose for New Jersey for the next 8 years, you know? Yeah. Like, that's just going to look like Mike Greer got a steal in that trade. So anyway, I like Zetterlund. I wasn't so sure about him. I didn't really know much about him when they first got him, and he did not score a single goal at the end of last season after they traded for him. So the fact that he is now the second leading scorer on the team, I believe. Yes, now that Hurdle is gone, he has jumped up the ranks. But
And Duclair.
He's got 16 goals and 14 assists for 30 points in 64 games. Not a bad year.
Yeah.
On a good team, he's probably got another 10 points on top of that.
Potentially, yeah. You play with better teammates, you get better opportunities. But if he's playing on a better team, he's probably not as high up in the lineup as he is with the Sharks. We'll Maybe see. Not getting as many minutes.
Yeah, sure. But he's also still young. So
for sure.
I mean, he's only, how old is he? 24 years old. So probably another couple years before he's really peaking. So the Sharks have him at, obviously, a very young and good age to have come into his own.
Well, and then the last player here to talk about, really, and he's also no longer a Shark, is Kaapo Kähkönen, mm-hmm. who had his last game as a Shark. And I wish it would have been a better game for him, but certainly didn't hurt his trade value because they still were able to ship him off after a game where they lose 7-6 in overtime. So, yeah, Kähkönen, I don't know, was there anything you wanted to say about him in particular other than this just being his last game as a Shark?
It just kind of sucked that was his last game, you know, giving up 7 goals in the game. So kind of a brutal way to go. But we'll see how he does in New Jersey, because New Jersey also acquired the goalie from Montreal, and I'm blank, Jake Allen. So I think Allen and Kähkönen, which I was always saying, Kähkönen is probably going to be a 1B, mm-hmm. A good 1B situation on a good team. So I think Allen and Kähkönen are going to be splitting starts the rest of the season.
Yeah, and so the Sharks in that trade got Vitek Vanacek, which the only thing I'm going to say about Vanacek, and it's totally blew my mind. My sons like buying hockey cards because they think that they're going to be millionaires pulling a card that's worth a lot of money. And I keep telling them you're basically going to have gambling problems when you get older, right? But on one of these packs, they yanked a card, and the card was, you know how it's got the signature on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Not like stamped signature. Right. Actually signed by the player with a piece of tape that's covering it. Wow. So that it can't get jacked up. And it's Vitek Vanacek.
Wow, that's cool.
In his Capitals uniform. Yeah. So I was looking for it. I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it, which is a bad sign. I'll have to go scouring the house for that one again. I know it's protected. I just don't know where it is. But yeah, so it's an awesome card. It's one of those ones that you very rarely would pull out of a pack. So
yeah.
We were like super stoked about it. But yeah, so it was just kind of cool that we traded for this guy and we've got this really awesome card.
I like that. I've gotten one that had the jersey that's in the card. I think that's really cool
too. We have a Hurdle jersey.
Yeah, that's
it's
cool.
Pretty sweet. My son liked it. So anyway, so yeah, that was the one thing. Yeah, I know. Too soon. It was teal, not gold. So it's more valuable to me.
Yeah, worth it.
Okay, yeah.
That's good.
So anyway, so that's the only thing I want to say about Vanacek. But very happy that we were able to pick him up. I like that he's got the 1 year. Even if he's injured this season, does help us get a little bit lower in the standings, not having him healthy and ready to go. Although Magnus Crona is doing everything he can to screw that up. He's trying to get wins. And let me tell you, we'll talk about him a little bit later on, but Magnus, I've got questions about Magnus, but I've got questions in a good way about him. So there's that. But I'm very happy to see that Kähkönen gets his opportunity. He had 1 year left. We don't have to worry about losing him for nothing at the end of the season. And we get a goaltender that perhaps we trade the next season once he's healthy, looking good. And if Crona seems to come into his zone and Blackwood's there, maybe we don't need him. Maybe we can flip him. Who knows? Anyway, we'll go ahead and move on to the next game here. The Sharks against the Islanders. This was a blasting 7-2 ugly loss. Game. Ugly, ugly, ugly from start to finish.
This was the game right before the deadline.
Yes.
Deadline was on Friday. This game was on Thursday.
So no one's got their heads right.
No.
Yeah.
Not even close. And the Islanders are fighting for that wild card spot with Patrick Waugh as their coach. And he was just hired in January. So he has something to, you know, he's lighting under their bums to get the fire going, to get them into a playoff spot. And It is a good team, but they always seem to be on that cusp of making playoffs or not, and then just getting railroaded in the first round. So, this was a very hungry team, and they never took their foot off the gas, which I don't blame them. Corona got the start, and Kakanen was, I can't remember if Kakanen was on the bench or not. I think he might have been, but they probably were, the trade was in the works, and so they didn't want to put him in just in case he gets injured. So Corona got stuck and was in the net for all seven goals. I mean, Kakanen was too on Sunday or on Tuesday, but that's 14 goals back to back given up on the week before the deadline. That's brutal.
I feel bad for Corona. Like, sorry, kid, you're going to have to stay in and get shelled.
There's nothing we can do. You have to stay here. I mean, they should have just scratched Kakanen, but maybe they couldn't get somebody up in time.
And this is like, for Corona, every time he's played, he seems to have kind of gotten a low-effort game from the players in front of him, and this game seemed a little bit no different than any of that. When you lose 7-2, I felt so bad for this guy because it seems like every time he gets in the pipes, he's just getting wrecked, it's not always his fault.
No, the first shot on goal was deflected off of one skate, off of another skate, and he never even saw it. He was going to the right, and it came in this way.
Yeah.
And the very first shot, first minute of the game, it was like, oh, it's going to be one of those nights. And sure enough, it wasn't every goal, but at least three or four of them were just unlucky bounces that you get like maybe one of those a game, and he had just happened to get three or four. So it was an ugly game. Ugly game all around.
So CJ is saying, well, it's nice that the Blackhawks decided to start dominating people. They've been winning games like 7-2. Yeah, and I actually will probably hit on that just a little bit later on too. But Super Producer Jason, can you put the Robot Bay, his comment Robot up there? There you go. Body blue raised arms. I love that it doesn't...
it types it out.
I love that it types it out and doesn't give you just the emoji itself. So body blue raised arms, me for the next 5 years. Okay, great.
You know what's great? That helps the podcast people.
It does.
You're explaining exactly what the emoji is.
Yeah, so imagine the person with both hands raised up, like, I don't know, and then it's he's wearing blue.
Body Paul blue. Also doesn't see it because I have the computer so I can see it. So I can see what it looks like. So I think we should get more of those in the show.
I'm a fan of the emojis getting spelled out in the chat. That's awesome. Robot Bay also says, go Sharks, but I definitely not spending a lot on the trophies and medals. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I wasn't following along the whole time.
Sometimes robots have their own speak, apparently, but that's okay. So I guess in this game, really the only thing that we were going to say was Magnus Corona got wrecked.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate for him, but it does open the door for Kakanen to not get injured and then get traded away. We already talked about that one. Again, if you want to get a little bit more in-depth with any of the trade talk, you can do that by checking out episode 203, which is the previous episode here. But the last thing we wanted to do in terms of trade talk was hit on this Tomas Hertl thing just one more time. And I guess we kind of had a little bit of a back and forth on it, right? Mm-hmm. You're happy with the trade. I not so much happy with it. Oh, you're kind of doing this too. What's going on?
I mean, I would have liked more, but I think the market dictated what they could get. Okay. So I don't hate it, but I don't love it. If that makes sense. I'm indifferent.
Okay.
I understand it. I'll say that. I understand that he had to go, and I understand that probably any other trade to any other team wouldn't have gotten as big of a return as we got from Vegas. But another trade, just like the Timo Meier trade, that I think we're going to have to look back in like a year or two to see if it even panned out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if in terms of roll call, we can do something roll call related. I don't know if you want to do it about this or if you want to save that for something else. But with regard to the Hertl trade, I'm kind of in the same boat. I understand it. I don't like it. I don't hate it. Okay. So I guess where I'm coming from on this, and this will probably be the last time that we have to wrap this thing up because
probably not.
We'll probably rehash it throughout the season. Fine. But I'm just trying to say that so that maybe we won't have to later on. Anyway, my whole take on this is that I don't like that the implication that he's 30 years old means that he's got his foot in the grave. Okay. The guy is 30. He's not 39. right? If we traded him at 29 years old and he had 7 years left on his contract, would anybody be saying, oh, well, he's 29, he's almost 30, we need to get rid of this guy, right?
Yeah, they were.
So what really, and Schengen had said this too, what really should have happened is he just didn't get signed in the first place.
Absolutely.
For 8 years.
He should have gotten traded then.
100%. Right? He should have got traded before that, right? And hindsight's 2020, obviously. If you asked me a couple years ago before he got re-signed at trade deadline, I'd have been saying, no, we want Hurdle still. But for 8 years, that is a long term.
We could go back to our shows and see what we were saying, because
yeah,
the heart says sign him long term, right? Because this rebuild, it's not going to be a rebuild. We'll be able to get back to where we need to be. And then your head is going, no, we should trade this guy and get some big assets. I mean, at that time, we still had Timo Meier as well, who was also even younger than Hurdle, and a big piece of the Sharks. So it's really, in hindsight, it's much easier to say, yeah, we should have traded him. I think at the time, it's a lot harder to convince anybody that should have been the case. Yeah. Anyone inside kind of the Sharks realm, whereas people outside are like, yeah, you should trade him. That's stupid. Why would you sign him to 8-year deal when you're in a rebuild?
Right.
Even though you don't know you're in a rebuild. You're in a rebuild, right? Like, come on, you should have done it. But who knows what that return would have been. I guess it could have been higher because he wasn't signed at the time and he wasn't an RFA, but he would have, you know, they would have dictated how much they would have signed him afterwards, if anything.
Right. So I want to do this then. I want to make this the roll call, unless you have something else.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so let's do this for the roll call question then. Let's say, what city are you watching us from? Okay. And then given the time that we've had now, right, since the trade, have your feelings changed?
4 days.
Yeah. 4 days, it's big, dude. It's big. Come on. Have your feelings changed? Because there's an immediate reaction, right? There's a very immediate emotional response for a lot of fans, right? Just name recognition, that alone, a lot of people got upset, right?
It was a shock because nobody in either organization leaked anything. And these talks were going back to before the All-Star game. Imagine that. You're keeping a tight lid on that for over a month. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They even said even his mom didn't know. Tomas Hertl's mom had no idea about the trade or possible trade or anything, right? That's really keeping a tight lid. That's impressive, especially in today's world where you're phone away on Twitter to giving away some kind of news, right? Like, that's ridiculous. So props to both. I hate to give props to the Vegas Knights, but props to them, because I figured they for sure would have leaked that or something, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, for me, my feelings on it, I understand the trade, okay? I just feel like this idea that him being 30 years old and therefore he's a declining asset. Yes, he is declining. However, you could be at 100% and decline to 99. It doesn't mean that you're at 80%. Oh, what's this? Holy ball. Okay. Alan Kelly. Nice. Hey. Thanks, buddy. 1999. You are the San Jose Sharks. Oh, man. You know what? This one, the emoji showed up.
There. What the
heck? Oh, that one worked, huh?
There's no, like, colon jumping dash shark colon thing. Alan, thank you so much for supporting this show, man. We really do appreciate it. Certainly goes a long way for the set and everything else. So thank you. Thank you. Do appreciate that very much, man. This is someone that we went to school with, actually. Yeah. Grade school, even.
And high school.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying as far back as, you know. So, Alan, again, thank you so much, but do appreciate you. I don't know. Are we the San Jose Sharks?
I guess now, because we're the old relics from the old team. The only ones left. Other than Vlasic.
Did you see the picture that they had of the
conference finals?
Conference champion picture?
Yes.
And everything is black and white except for the two in color were Marc-Edouard Vlasic and Logan Couture. And that's because they are the only two left from that roster that are still on this team. And someone was like, those should have been the first two to go. But I don't necessarily share that sentiment. But yeah, they're the only two left from that era.
What's going to be very interesting this summer, in fact, I want to look this up. Uh-oh, okay. What happened here? I can't look it up because I don't know what happened.
He went dark.
Yeah. Logan Couture, I believe, is 34 years old.
Okay.
The rule for a team for cap space reasons, if they retire before they turn 35, their cap hit goes away. If they retire after they're 35, it stays. So that was to circumnavigate the Kovalchuk contract where they signed him at for like 15 years so that he was playing until he was 45, to bring the cap hit down. That was kind of the workaround and rule. So he's 34. His birthday is March 28th. Oh, my God. That's coming up. That's coming up in 2 weeks.
So you think he's going to retire?
No. I'm just saying, if this is an injury that's going to keep him, because he even said before the first time that he wasn't sure if he's ever even going to play hockey again, let alone, you know, quality of life kind of thing. I thought the same thing about Vlasic when he was out a year ago, because he just recently turned, semi-recently turned 35 too. I was like, ooh, I wonder if he's going to do it. But that would be a strange turn of events if he were to retire before 35 in 2 weeks. I guess we'll keep a watch on that. It's probably not going to happen. I'll say it's not going to happen.
I think you keep paying him with a nice front office job, you know? Little Sharks PR. Well,
he still gets his money. His contract is still valid. It's the cap hit that doesn't hit the team.
Right. But I'm just saying, you can keep him in the organization because you know he wants to
Absolutely. Do
something hockey related if he's forced out of the game. Right. By an injury. So.
And again, I'm not saying this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But if it does, you heard it here first.
We are the Sharks.
We are the San Jose Sharks, according to Alan Kelly.
Fun must still be always.
Fun was supposed to be always, and now it's going to be never. It is what it is, man. So a lot of people in the chat, and Super Producer Jason was putting a lot of these up there. A lot of people in the chat saying, yeah, they were sad at first, you know, but they get it, you know. So I think the fan base is kind of like okay with it. But again, that initial reaction, again, heart-wrenching. Seeing Hurdle in the past day or so wearing Vegas colors, doing Vegas interviews and everything else.
He's not playing yet. That's when it'll get real. That's when you start seeing highlights of Hurdle scoring ridiculous goals.
You know, I saw the jersey 48 Hurdle, and that it made it pretty real for me right there. But yeah, once you see him playing for them, it's going to suck. And I have to imagine that the Vegas Knights play in San Jose some point before the end of the season. And that'll be a nice homecoming for Hurdle. I'm hoping the fans are nice to him because, yes, he waived his no-move clause to go to Vegas where he could have shut it down and said, no, I'm a Shark. So I hope that the fans are nice to him because he's given 11 solid seasons.
There's no way anyone boos him.
I'm hoping that they don't.
Are you kidding me? There's no way.
Hey. I'm not saying that people should. I'm saying I hope that nobody out there is that big of a turd.
Well, there's nobody at the games anyway, so.
That is fair. An excellent point. Harsh. And there's Debbie with the vomit emojis. Superdudes, Jason, did you do something? Because I'm seeing the emojis now.
I didn't do anything. I
think it's some of them are programmed if they're basic ones, but if they're like really crazy ones, they're not going to
be. Yeah, I guess. Oh, that is a wonderful picture. I'm the meat plug.
Yeah, we're done playing Vegas. We don't play them anymore.
Oh, no.
No.
Last place, let's go. Yeah, I'm all about that, buddy. We if you've seen the standings, we are absolutely in last place now. But yeah, as far as the Hurdle trade, I think this is the last that we're going to be talking about this. Hopefully, we will see. But yeah, I get it. I don't think it was necessary, frankly, but I understand the want to move on. I understand getting the assets that we got. I don't like that we gave assets because I think that they were just as desperate to get him as Mike Greer was to unload him because they're still going on a cup run. And if they can get Hurdle with retention, why do they need thirds? I didn't understand that at all. So, regardless, I understand the why. I just don't like how it went down.
That could
and
have
I'm
been
ready to move on.
The thirds were to bring the retention amounts down.
Which should not have been needed. Shouldn't have been needed.
Third round picks.
Shouldn't have been needed.
Meh. One of them's in 3 years from now.
And here's the other thing. The last thing I'm going to... Yeah, there's the blue arms raised again. Apparently this emoji is really crazy. There you go, Ramave. The third round you can absolutely get back. In years to come, 100% easy to get back, no problem.
Hopefully, at that
you
point,
you still have to give something up to get it.
Hopefully,
so
it's
no matter
a
what,
late third round pick in 3 years from now,
you still have to give something up to get that third back, which means you're giving up more to get it back.
Yeah, they'll get
in
it back.
This trade.
They'll get it back in a year at the trade deadline.
I know they'll get it back. I'm just saying you have to give up something to get it back.
Yeah, a rental player because they're still going to be selling rental players.
Right, and if you traded that rental player for that pick, you'd have that pick plus the one that you didn't need to trade away.
Okay,
is my point.
Don't get greedy now.
I'm greedy. and I'm that's my
you
story.
Can't have too many picks in one draft.
You actually you cannot have too many picks in one draft. That is true. Yes, 100%. So why do we give our thirds away? That's you're making my point for me. Thank you. Anyway, moving on. Unless you wanna we're good?
All right. Done with you.
We are good. Done with me. Not with the hurdle talk. He's done with me. Is that a new merchandise? What? This? The cup?
That's from the game.
This is from the game. So, yeah. Debbie, if you go to the games, you can go and get like a beer or something like that, and they will sell it to you in these nice little
aluminum,
as the
you can reuse
as
them,
the everyone but the United them. But the Americans would say. I said the United States, America. Anyway, so yeah, they are very nice.
Cup? What is in that cup?
I think it's just water. I don't know. Super producer Jason poured it for me.
That should have been the roll call.
It's a roll call. What's in Ball's cup?
What's in the cup?
There you go. Yeah. For all you United States Americans, as I said, I swear this show's family friendly. Anyway,
only a half an hour.
I know it's gonna be. We got another hour and a half to go. Okay, here we go.
20-minute show, man. Just 20
it's
minutes.
Never a 20-minute show.
Alex, Ben this Oregon. Is the banter I came for.
So, Sharks Oregon. Ben Oregon. He says, "Happy for Hurdle. Still dislike it, but will probably work out for better for us long term." You know, that's the only other thing maybe to talk about with this is the long term.
Oh, we're still going.
No,
okay.
but we're done with talking about the trade. Yeah. I think it's good for Hurdle to be able to go somewhere where he's going to have an opportunity, even if that means he's playing in Vegas, hated rivals. The one thing I will say about Vegas fans on X, right, is that their responses were all very positive about his smile. And how happy he is.
How do you hate
and
him?
And they just and you know what? Again, for me, that there wasn't this like vitriol of like, oh, he was a Shark. He's coming to a winning team now. There wasn't that. It was all just, oh man, we're so happy to have him. We used to hate you. We love you. What a great smile. The guy's so happy. It was just so positive. Finally, something positive from the Vegas fan base.
To me, I don't think the Vegas fans feel the Sharks are a rival anymore because they haven't been since that game.
Right.
So, to me, it's like we're there now, like little kid brother. They're just kind of like, yeah, get away from me. We're gonna play a real team. Like, get out of here.
But there wasn't that sense, is what I'm saying in the comments. There wasn't the sense of,
I get it.
Oh, you guys are coming to play for a real team now. You know, it wasn't like that. It was just like, man, we're so happy to have this guy. So I'm confident that though we hate Vegas fans and how entitled they are, I love the fact that he's going somewhere where he will be appreciated by the fan base. Perhaps in a few years he won't be appreciated by the management group, and that's something we can always revisit. But
I do think he will not be playing for Vegas through his contract. He'll get moved again.
I agree with you. And he has a no-move clause, so they're going to trade him anyway and then have to take him back.
Right.
Chicago might be shopping.
Be shopping. In a few years, once they're ready, I bet they...
Yeah.
They deal a lot, Vegas and Chicago.
Yeah,
they do a lot of deals. Kind of like the Sharks with New Jersey.
Yeah, not looking forward to Chicago potentially getting Celebrini as well. That would be a 1-2 punch up the middle that nobody in the league is going to have an easy time dealing with. So, anyway, okay, done with that. Now, let's move on because this is the first game post-Sharks trades. So, you know, our roster is depleted, right? We have injured Blackwood, no Kakinen. The goaltender we traded for is injured. We had to pull in Magnus Crona, who just lost a game 7-2. The previous game, right? And historically, he's been shelled. We have no Anthony Duclair. We have no Hurdle. There's no scoring on this team. There's no defense on this team. So what do the Sharks do? Go out and win 2-1 against the Ottawa Senators. Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah, because it's hockey. What you think is going to happen is not going to happen, right?
I was there.
What is this team?
Super producer Jason was at that game.
So it's your fault.
You got to see a rare win in the arena.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's because I didn't drink beer out of the aluminum cup this time.
Aluminium.
I'm not going to work here anymore.
Actually, I say aluminum too. I'm just messing with you guys. Anyway, so yeah, they go out and they win this game because, of course, why would they? Why would they lose it? Again, the Sharks get completely depleted. They come out with a 2-1 effort. Now, the one against was none other than Tim Stützle, correct? Right. So I guess you had the question of whether or not this was kind of like a revenge goal.
Not revenge, just like, does it sting whenever he scores on the Sharks? Because it's kind of like he should have been a Shark.
So
I don't think that way.
Okay.
Well, I was posing the question. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that way.
I'm going to say no, because I think that the Sharks, because the whole thing was, okay, they gave up the pick to get Carlson, and then they were horrible. If the Sharks hadn't picked up Carlson, we don't know that they would have finished in the same spot. Therefore, we don't know that they would have had Stützle. Right?
Right.
If everyone's whole thing is, oh, you grab Garrett Carlson, your team's horrible, and blah, blah, right? So then what if we didn't? If you guys were right then, what if we didn't? And there wasn't that competition on the blue line with Burns. And we did re-sign Pavelski. Are we as bad of a team? Who knows? Probably not.
I don't know. There's a lot of what-ifs.
There's a lot of what-ifs. And so therefore, I cannot say, oh, Tim Stützle, the guy that we could have had, because I don't know that we could have. However, if Josh Norris had scored that goal, sure, that's where I go, ah, that one stings a bit, right? Because we had Norris and we gave him up. But Stützle we never had in the first place.
To me, this is what upsets me about that, is you can no longer do this in the league. The reason they got that pick, which ended up being Stützle, is because Carlson re-signed with the Sharks.
Yeah.
If he didn't re-sign with the Sharks, that pick would have still been in San Jose's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You can no longer do this in the league where you can put a stipulation if they re-sign with that team that they can't do it. So, and it happened after this happened, I think, because other teams are kind of like, ooh, that's not fair. That good thing it wasn't our team.
Not the first time a rule's been changed because of the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was two rule changes in one playoff season.
One was the hand pass from Meyer. And what was the other one?
The door.
Oh, Pavelski. The hit on Pavelski, they can review 5-minute majors now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Vegas doesn't know how to penalty kill in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, was there something with Colorado and the door, them coming offside too? I remember him, he was leaving the ice. I don't remember if there was any changes on that one though.
You're allowed to review it now, I think. But I thought, was that the Sharks game?
Yeah, it was. It was definitely us against Colorado. It was definitely like 3 or 4 rule changes that have been directly because of the San Jose Sharks. Impacting the NHL, it's what we do. We are the San Jose Sharks. Regardless, Aaron, so this game here, again, Magnus Crona gets his first NHL win in this one. So finally they show up for the guy. He stands on his head. I think he did a phenomenal job. And I think we had talked about this last episode. I don't know if we talked about this game in particular, but we were talking about Crona having a good game. But hey, calm yourselves down, because it's not going to be like this all the time. This is not what we're going to get all the time. It's not throw him into the NHL, he's ready for the show, right?
Right.
That's what we were saying before, and we'll get to that in just a second, that sentiment. But in this game, at least, pulls off a 2-1 win, plays really, really well, and it ends the 9-game losing streak.
Yes. He had this one amazing save where kind of a tic-tac-toe play by Ottawa, and Drake Batherson on the back post, basically, Crona had to go from his right all the way to his left, stretches out his glove hand, and catches it. Not just stops it, but catches it and ends the play. And it was like, that's a top 10 Sports Center save right there. It was fantastic. And the look on Batherson's face, like, afterwards, I don't want to say what he said, but you can read his lips when you look at the replay of how angry he was that he did not score that goal.
And it's funny because he's a big boy, right? Mm-hmm. Was he 6'4" or 6'5", something like that. He's big. He's huge. But it's funny, the way that he moves like a smaller goaltender.
Exactly.
He's very agile, very quick. He's
very athletic for his size, yes.
So I don't want to be overly enthusiastic about it, but I am pretty excited, I guess, about the future for Magnus
Crona. He fits Mike Greer's threshold of 6'4" or above. That's the only players that he likes to go after. They have to be at least 6'4". They have to be this tall to ride the ride of the Sharks.
To ride the pipes, I guess. Right. I don't know. Maybe that's the wrong way of saying it. Anyway, so then the other thing of note here is that Bordalo came in and he scored 2 power play goals, which, of course, the only 2 goals of the game. Notably, we'll say that stat in just after the second game here. But Bordalo picks up, again, 2 power play goals. He comes in, and, I mean, this guy sellied hard when he scored. He was just so happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm finally in the show again. And, man, I to put one in is great. To put into otherworldly feeling, I have to imagine, for the kid. So
he's been working his tail off down at the Barracuda level, and not just the scoring. The scoring's coming, and he's naturally a scorer, but also just his well-rounded 200-foot game and playing defensive, in the defensive zone, and not being a liability anymore, which lets the coach trust him and give him more ice time and more opportunities, and also in the top 6 versus the bottom 6. So he's finally getting the opportunity that he should get, I guess, because of all his hard work paying off. But yes, he's very excited and very happy and finally producing at the NHL level.
And, you know, I almost feel bad because I feel like, and it might have been the last show or the previous show or something like that, we had said Bordeleau is just not able to get his shot, get the crack at the NHL level, and he might be one of those guys that's too good for the AHL but not good enough for the NHL. I believe is something along the lines of what we said. And I'm glad to see him pot a couple here. It doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar in the NHL. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but it is nice for him to jump in and make an immediate impact on this team. So, you know, again, taking the opportunity and running with it, good on him for doing that. Now, you've got a tweet here, I think, from Darren Stevens, is it?
Yep.
Okay, so you go ahead, fire away, and explain this one.
I love Darren Stevens. You can just go to his Twitter. You should give him a follow because he has the most outlandish stats that you could ever
think
of.
He's a baseball statistician for hockey. He's got the craziest,
yeah. Go ahead. So here's the tweet. Sharks blocked 19 shots in today's game, the Ottawa game. Six of those came in the game's final minute. Granlund had two, Vlasic had two, Sturm and Burrows each had one. Don't tell me these guys didn't want to win blocking six shots in the last minute of that game. They knew how important this was for Krona. They knew how important it was just for the team to get off that 9-game losing streak, yet another almost double-digit losing streak in this season.
Yeah.
So they were working their tails off. Now, contrast this to what we were talking about earlier in the other games of mentally they just were not there because of the trade deadline, possibly. I'm not going to say it was exactly that, but most likely that's what it was. Post-trade deadline, now they can focus on hockey. Now they're fighting for their jobs, either fighting for their next contract if they're UFA or fighting for their role, I guess, for next year's team because they know there's a slew of younger guys up and coming that are going to be chomping at the bit to take those positions away and those positions, I guess, like in their starting lineup. So they are now fighting for their roles on the team.
Very good. The last thing here, I guess, was Granlund playing his 800th NHL game. Great milestone for him. Happy to have him do it in teal. And hopefully he gets closer to that 1,000-game mark in the same jersey. I would like to see this guy play with the Sharks for quite a while. Now, I know that we've got some young guys coming up that are probably going to be playing in his position. Mm-hmm. But if they can move one of them to the wing, like Hurdle, say, for instance, right? Center now. But when he came into the league, he was playing, I think it was left wing. So I would love to see either one of the young guys get moved to the side. Again, Eklund, for me, I'm not as high on him as a center. I like him at the wing. So maybe him being able to play with like Will Smith, but then somebody else, you know, Celebrini, for instance, right? Maybe as a second line center, and Granlund as the old grizzled veteran playing third line center. That'd be amazing, right? Yeah. Down in the middle. I think that would be great. So I would love to see him as kind of the old dog, if you will, on the team, helping the young guys with you know, how to be an NHL, how to be a pro. So I would like to see him go beyond next season. So that's just kind of my thoughts on him. But yeah, absolutely, 800, quite the milestone there. And again, I think 1,000, they give him the silver stick. Is that right?
Yeah.
They give him that giant silver stick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would be a great milestone for him. But this so far.
Or a woolly mammoth tusk.
Woolly mammoth tusk. There you go. For those who don't know, that's what Joe Thornton got as a gift from the Sharks. Just such a Joe gift to receive.
Absolutely. He's a history buff guy, I guess. Right? That's why he liked it. Or why he was so happy about it, too.
Like,
who has one of those?
Joe Thornton has one. Of course he does. Why wouldn't he? Okay, so then the game today, or tonight, I guess, that happened, the Sharks at the Flyers. This one was another game where there were two power play goals by the same player. Zadina picks up both goals in this one. They do lose by a score of 3-2, however. And the stat that I was going to bring up earlier was that the Sharks have now scored 4 straight power play goals and no even strength goals. Yeah, so we really need to have that man advantage to be dangerous, it seems. Although today I noticed that the shots on goal weren't as low in the first period as usual. It was actually, at one point in the game, they were like down by like just like 1 or 2 shots, like 12 to 13 or something like that. So usually it's like they have 3 shots and the opponents have like, you know, 14.
Yeah.
So today it was a little bit tighter. Again, trade everybody away and they play better. I don't get it, but I'll take it. So I guess hunger goes a long way.
Know your role, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, with that one, the other thing here was that it was just another stellar performance by Magnus Krona. I think he made 39, 40 something saves, whatever it was. Yeah, so he lets three in, but I think his overall save percentage was still like almost 930 or so. Or sorry, yeah, 0.930, I guess, yeah. Somewhere in there, 929, I don't know. It was in that range, and of course, three goals against. But for a goalie to have that type of save percentage, and he was making big stops. There, it wasn't just there, kept throwing it in his logo and, you know, catching the breadbasket there. Mm-hmm. He was making big stops where he was stretching across, a lot of desperation type stuff. So I guess for me, the question with Crona now is, remember we had said, you know, don't expect too much. It's not a guy that you're going to be able to just throw into the NHL. It's not like the Binnington story, right? Were we wrong on that? Is he NHL ready after all? I mean, this is the second game now where he looks pretty good.
Well, he's NHL ready now for the Sharks because they don't have any other options. But look at his last four games.
Yeah.
One bad start, and that was against the Islanders where he let in seven. Mm-hmm. But against Dallas, 947 save percentage. Ottawa, 969. Philadelphia, 927. Yeah, that's pretty good. And string more of those together, you're going to be more of a legit goaltender. So going down the stretch here in the last, I think there's 18 games left, roughly 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
If he can get about 12 to 15 more of those starts and maybe put another 10 games of those starts that they're decent games, like he doesn't have to win, but putting in solid effort and keeping that save percentage above 900, then I would consider, yeah, maybe this guy is ready at least for backup duty to Vanacek next year, which would leave Blackwood out. So I don't know. It's promising, and it's helping him at least kind of get his confidence going. And even if he's not ready, or if they have those other two guys that are ready, Vanacek and Blackwood next year, they could at least put him at the Barracuda and be the man of the Barracuda and really hone in on his game and focus on stuff. I mean, going from the NHL to the Barracuda should be easier, not necessarily always because the defense is different.
Yeah.
So, but getting more starts than being riding the bench, I think would be better for him because he's still pretty young. But that would make the Sharks organization feel a little bit more confident in that they have something with Crona and that they could move Blackwood or Vanacek at the deadline and be comfortable having Crona come up and be ready by 2 years, let's say, right, instead of next year.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that one because I think he could be a pretty promising prospect for the Sharks after all. You know, I think he won in NC2A against Michigan, as we had said before. Yep. So he's got a little bit of winning in his blood, which is nice. Hopefully that's somebody that can, you know, continue those winning ways. Not now, but later. Mm-hmm. Would be great. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think the ability to move one of the other two bigger name goaltenders at next year's trade deadline, or maybe even at the draft, who knows. But just having a little bit of confidence in this guy as at least a backup, because mm-hmm. Not everybody needs to be a 1A, 1B. You can have a 1 and a 2, right? You can have a backup. There's no problem having just a solid backup and that's it. Not a guy you're going to ride for much at all, right? Generally, you'll see that with more skilled teams, right? Because they're going to limit the amount of shots on goal just by nature of them having possession of the puck more often than not. I would be very interested to see how Magnus Crona shakes out. There's a lot of goaltenders that have come through the system that just didn't pan out, and we've certainly traded a few away. Zach Amon comes to mind. And really hopeful for this guy and the years to come with the Sharks. So hopefully, age-wise, he's on that same kind of trajectory because the goaltenders take a little bit longer to develop. So with Will Smith maybe coming in a year or two, with if it's Celebrini or Yzerman mm-hmm. or whoever else, having them coming in a couple of years, I think his ability to be a starting goaltender in just 2 or 3 years, or a backup goaltender, I should say, in just 2 or 3 years as a regular fits in that timeline perfectly. So hopefully that all shakes out pretty well there.
I got a question here from Zephyr. He brought this up last show, but I racked out soon after. What do you think about mathematically limited teams competing against each other until the end of the season for draft position? I don't know if you heard about this. It's called the Gold Method, named after someone with the last name of Gold, where as soon as a team is eliminated from the playoffs, all the points they accumulate from that point to the end of the season gets them the draft order, top draft order. So the team with the most points after being eliminated gets the number one overall pick. Does that make sense?
Why would you do that?
So Chicago, to stop tanking.
Okay, so but the worst team in the league versus the 17th worst team in the league.
No, but like, so Chicago is just eliminated.
Yeah.
I think the Sharks were eliminated tonight with their loss. I think, yeah, they were eliminated tonight. So they were officially eliminated. So from this point on, for the rest of the season, the Sharks have 18 games left.
Okay.
If they win those games, they're getting points in the standings. Almost like a different standings, right? Yeah. So now they're competing with Chicago, who can get the most points between now and the end of the season. Makes those games competitive, makes those teams that are at the bottom try against other teams, and they're going to be playing spoiler to a lot of teams then, more mm-hmm. than they should be. There's kind of benefits to it, and I see drawbacks to it, because I know there's going to be loopholes that teams are going to find. One. Two, the players don't care about the draft.
Right.
They don't care. Yeah, they want to win, but that's not going to motivate them to win.
Right. You're not motivated to have them draft somebody who could potentially take your spot.
I also think the trade deadline would be dead, because teams aren't going to want to trade their players away anymore, because they want to win the standings to get the better draft pick. I think it's going to be a combination of all of this. Go ahead.
So, okay, and the part where I was a little confused there is because you start accumulating points once you are officially eliminated.
Correct.
So that's why I was saying the 17th worst team, the bubble team that didn't make it, would obviously be far better than the last place team, but they wouldn't be accumulating points because they hadn't been eliminated yet.
They probably won't be eliminated until the very last
game,
right?
So, okay, I understand that now. That makes sense. However, the last place team can try all they want to win. If they suck that bad, they're not going to.
Right.
And that, to me,
is worse.
Is even more reason that they need the number one player.
I mean, theoretically, the Sharks and the Blackhawks right now are so far on the bottom of the league that they are now accumulating points before any other team is for another week or two. So they could get a head start.
Yeah.
But I'm still not a huge fan of it.
So what would be interesting at least is to track this as if that was happening.
Sure.
We can take a look at what the points would have said in terms of the draft order and everything, right? And then maybe at the end of the season we can say, okay, this is the draft order. This is what the draft order would have been had we gone with this method. I think that would be very interesting for the folks at home.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Good. Thanks for that, Aaron. You guys heard him. He said it.
You know what I did a long time ago? I always wanted to change the standings to 3 points per game, right? I went back from starting the lockout all the way to maybe 10 years out, redoing the standings as if that were the case, mm-hmm. which took a little bit of math because you had to figure out what was a regulation win versus not versus shootout, overtime, all that stuff. The standings did change, but not as much as I thought it would. But it was easier to look at the standings to see who the stronger teams were.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that had, like, in certain years, they're just like 13-1 in the shootout. And so they're way up higher in the standings than they should have been. They still would have made playoffs, but they would have been a lot lower. But you look at that team and you look at just regulation wins by themselves, you're like, oh, wow, this team won 15, or not that many, but maybe like 10 less regulation wins than the next team above them, but they're not nearly as strong as that team. I still like that system better, but I don't think they'll ever do it.
No, I'm all for doing that, too. I like the three-point system because I don't like that the point just comes out of nowhere.
Right.
And I've explained this before, and I know nobody likes it, and it's totally fine, but if you're going to say that a overtime win is worth more than a shootout win, then you do need a five-point system, and I can explain that one later. But I'm telling you, it would look goofy, but it would make a lot more sense in terms of it actually being worth more to you.
So five for regulation?
Five regulation, four for an overtime, three for a shootout. And then as a loss, you get zero. As a overtime loss, you get one. And a shootout loss, you get two. So a shootout loss is a skill competition. You only get a little bit more. It's basically a tie, except the other guy gets one extra point, right? I think a five-point system makes sense.
I think you do a three-point system and you just get rid of the shootout.
He doesn't like the shootout. There you go.
I think
just ties. You just want ties?
No. Yeah.
So what are you doing a tie? One and a half points?
You do shots from the half line. What's the difference? And you put the little thing over it with the little puck entrance. What's the difference, right?
What was it?
The skills competition.
Mike Smith did that.
Make it a skills competition. Fastest skater. Go.
Breitkart says he wants the three-point system as well. I'd be interested in seeing if Breitkart be open to a five-point system. It may sound ridiculous, but again, when you think about it, it does make sense. Regardless, Let's talk about the. This is my first time coming on this live broadcast room. Hey, guy with the white dog. I unfortunately I cannot read your name because it's in characters that I don't recognize. But thank you for being here. I appreciate you being in the broadcast room in the show. Hopefully you're enjoying the show and the set and everything else. So I just want to say thank you from wherever you're from. If you can actually type that, I'd be very interested to hear where you're watching us from. I don't know if we caught that during the roll call, but please let us know. Appreciate that. So Aaron, upcoming games, we've got Thursday at Pittsburgh, we've got Saturday in Columbus, and we've got Sunday in Chicago. Now, the notable thing here, in terms of the big names for me at least, Pittsburgh, obviously, Erik Karlsson, that's where he went. Pittsburgh not doing too hot as of recent, right? So they've traded away Gensel, I think, mm-hmm. is what it was. It seems like that's a very seller move to do, and it seems like that's not the type of thing that you would want to do if you traded for Erik Karlsson. You're paying him $10 million a year.
11. Oh, I guess 10.
Withholding. Yeah, exactly.
But they kind of went into... I wouldn't say rebuild mode, but seller mode for sure, because they traded away a lot of their assets and they recouped some at the deadline versus sending out some. So they're kind of restocking, I think, as Doug Wilson used to say, restocking, not retooling or rebuilding. so stupid. It's interesting where they are because they have... So Mike Greer answered this question because someone actually asked a question on the comments after the fact a couple weeks ago. When does Pittsburgh have to let the Sharks know that they Ooh. Want the pick or not? And they have 24 hours after the lottery. I think they should make it 24 hours before the lottery. Yeah. I think that would make it way more interesting, more of a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 24 hours after the lottery, so obviously if it's top pick, they're going to say, yeah, we'll keep it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because they are so close to that cusp. They might finish. It's all close where they are right now.
But
they
wait,
they might be out of that top 10.
But going back to what you said, right, and I think the previous show, was Pittsburgh might be in that like 9 or 10 and then say no because we feel like we're going to be worse next season.
Right. But if they do that and tell their fans that,
yeah,
that's not a good look, right?
It's a horrible look.
And we're not rebuilding yet. We don't want to give away our first round pick next year.
And you just grabbed Erik Karlsson. Like, yeah, there's that's a mixed messages. Yeah, you're right.
And you still got Crosby next year. He's signed through next year, so he's a free agent after that.
Mm-hmm.
And Malkin, I'm not sure. I didn't look, but
Crosby's he's close going too. Nowhere. Come on,
right?
But he's not going anywhere.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, do you trade him if they're terrible at the end of next year Crosby? As a rental? Yeah.
I don't think he would want to though.
Gretzky got traded. Gretzky got moved around.
No, I know.
He went from L.A. to St. Louis as a rental and then signed with the Rangers for another couple seasons. Everyone forgets he played for the Blues for
a half second. Yeah.
But, yeah, I it's interesting because I don't think that they would say, take it this year because we're going to be worse. Because they got to believe that they're going to be better going into next season.
But you traded Gensel. That's already telling
because
the fan
Because they didn't want to sign him. They had to re-sign him.
I guess,
and they couldn't afford it. It's the same situation with Meyer.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a crossroads. If they were in the playoffs, they wouldn't have traded him.
Yeah.
They would have kept him. So, I almost want them to keep it this season, keep that pick
because you think they're going
to
be worse.
They're going to be worse, and next year's they can't withhold. It. There's no conditions to it, so it's unprotected.
It's unprotected. Yeah.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It's unprotected next year. I would rather have that unprotected first, not knowing if they're going to be bad or not, than taking the 9th or 10th overall. Because this draft isn't as deep as it was last year, for sure.
Yeah.
I think next year, Graham said it in our fantasy league, that he thinks next year will be slightly deeper than this year's draft. So that even if they're 9th or 10th next year, that's better than 9th or 10th this year.
But knowing that, I think Pittsburgh then says, okay, maybe we do give them...
I still don't think they would do it.
You know?
I think they would. If it's a top 10, I think they keep it.
Okay. It'll be very interesting to watch that one, too. So, again, if you guys are not subscribed, please hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. That way you know when we're going live. So when that show happens with the trade, the draft and everything else, that'll be very interesting to see what goes on there. I guess not just the draft, but it would be the lottery itself before the draft happens, right? Mm-hmm. So that will be a show in and of itself.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of fun.
Maybe we'll go live for that one.
That would be cool. I think we should do that.
Because then we get actual reactions
yeah.
as it's happening. We just wouldn't be able to have We'd be watching it. Yeah, you guys sound. See, you won't be able to watch. We can't broadcast it, but that'd be fun to watch.
Maybe Super Producer Jason can find a way around like having half of it on the screen with transparency or can't really see it. Or
maybe we do an in-person live show. Like we go somewhere and host. You know what I mean? Like we're out somewhere and then
we can all watch it together. I like that idea too. Okay, well maybe we'll do that as well. But that was really all I wanted to say about the Pittsburgh thing was the Carlson and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, moving on from that again, Saturday is Columbus Blue Jackets. Anything specific about the Blue Jackets game you want to bring up?
No, it's just these three teams are at the bottom and we kind of want the Sharks to let them win so that they can get some distance in between the two of them.
He wants to know what Devereaux thought about the trades.
Answering. He's there.
Oh, same as Paul, giving up those draft picks for Hurdle was... I can see the emojis. Okay, so
emoji,
it's...
Emoji.
Well, not really mind-blowing. Shocking, stunned,
eye-rolling,
and...
disinterested.
Okay, disinterested. Do you have the colon thing? Out? Is that...
Oh, yeah, I have, like, a code book back here.
I don't know. It's Super Producer Jason. I would not be surprised. Anyway, another action item for the Fin Factory set up the live draft show.
We'll do it live.
The Sharks did a draft party. Yeah. And we were there for that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again and we would be there again. No?
It was like a staff party.
No. That was the lottery. The draft party was in the arena.
We were there for 3 hours.
We had Dan Boyle on the show.
I don't know what day.
Which reminds me, that was a very fun and interesting show when we drafted Will Smith, and we had some cool guests on the show. So if you'd like to check that one out as well, definitely go back and look at that one. I don't know what the number is. I'm sure somebody in the chat can figure that one out.
We'll dub it over Paul's voice right now.
We'll dub it over my voice right now. Okay.
Episode 183.
It might have been 185, actually. Anyway. So these are all teams that are outside of the playoff race. Now again, Aaron, can you pull up the standings one more time real quick? Because I just want to see the wins. Sharks have 16 wins. If you recall, I was saying that I don't think the Sharks are even going to get to 20 wins this season. Now, they did me dirty, and they picked one up against Ottawa right after they traded everybody away, and now they're trying to win games, losing the last game today 3-2.
I still think they can get to 20.
Wins. I think they can get to 20. Yeah. I was not confident.
4 wins in 16 games, I think they can do it.
Yeah, I mean, their win percentage is 0.3, so then you would think that they'd be able to do, in 16 games, they'd be able to do more than 4, because that's 0.25. I don't know. And playing 3 teams at the bottom of the list here doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in that either. So, yeah. Live NHL Draft episode was 181. I was close. There you go. So, episode 181 if you want to check out the live draft, and episode 203 if you want to talk about, or hear us talking about the trade deadline stuff. So, there you go. What else? I don't know. Is there anything else?
It's just we play Chicago after that. So after Columbus. So
right.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch that one just because Connor Bedard.
Yeah, the Bedard show. I
don't really get to watch much of him. So that'll be fun to see. And I guess imagine what he would look like in a Sharks jersey instead.
Oh, man. Don't put yourself through that.
Do you think Hurdle would have been traded if they got Bedard? Do you think Hurdle would want to have been traded if they got Bedard?
Way different story.
That's a whole nother show.
No, I think not only would Hurdle not want to be traded, Hurdle would want to go back to wing.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want to be a center. He'd want to be playing
I'm sure they would have put him on the wing.
Oh,
With Bedard.
Exactly.
They would have
absolutely done that. Yeah. So, things that could have been. Oh, well. It's all right, man. You know, a lot of folks just kind of, you know, upset about the whole Hurdle thing, and it's just it's something that happens in the business. These players that we grow to love, they get moved on, and you know what happens? We get a lot of nice young players that we grow to love, and so there's like basically a changing of the guard here. Mm-hmm. You know, the older generation of players has come and gone, and that's okay. And we're looking forward to the next group that comes in. The thing with the Sharks has always been under Doug Wilson that we had players that we loved, and they added more players that we loved, and then they added more players that we loved. And as the one or two guys kind of got shipped off of the team, it wasn't such a big deal. It didn't hurt so bad because we had a whole other group of guys that we still loved. Right now, I'm not saying we don't love these guys, but there's not the name recognition that there was from even just a few years ago. But as the younger guys, the prospects and the guys that we're going to be drafting, as they get into the organization and become staples on this team for years to come, that's going to be the new group that everybody gets connected with, right? And I told Aaron this too, and I think I told you guys at the beginning of last season even, now is the perfect time. Get in now. If you're not a Shark fan and you're only sort of watching the Sharks here and there, I'm telling you, now is the time to do it, because
you're going
to
get hooked on them young guys, aren't you?
You're going to get hooked on the young guys, and you're going to go, man, that Eklund kid's amazing. And then the Eklund kid's going to turn that Eklund man, and then the Eklund man's going to turn into that 30-year-old guy that we're arguing about whether or not we should be trading, right?
Yikes.
I'm telling you,
that escalated quickly.
Get in. Get in while they're young, and they're going to be a part of this team for many, many years. I know it sucks right now for a lot of folks in Sharks territory, but this is the best time to get back into it. Learn these guys, start to understand these guys, get attached to them being on this team, because they are going to be on this team for a while. And no one can call you a bandwagon fan if you jump in now. Right?
So you're
right.
Saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance in like 3 years. But yes, there's a chance. So I would get in now and start getting attached to them, because you won't be disappointed in a few years.
See what I have pulled up there?
$49 million.
That's our cap hit next year. That's including
a lot of space.
The buyouts and the dead cap, everything. 49, or under $50 million for the cap next year. Granted, they're going to have to sign some players, obviously. Because they're going to have a lot of holes in the lineup with all the UFAs leaving. But that's a lot of money to play with the cap going up, I think, by $4 million next year as well.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, I guess I'll pose this kind of last kind of question here, because we're trailing off. But remember when Arizona got players traded to him for future considerations?
Yeah.
Like, here's a first-round pick and this player, and we'll take back future considerations. I think the Sharks are going to be that team now. They're going to take on some bad contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like how Granlund was a bad contract, right? Take that contract on along with some draft picks coming their way as the payment for taking on those bad contracts. I wouldn't be surprised if we see those as soon as the summer or even the draft.
Yeah, part of the problem for me with the Hurdle trade was that there's that retention slot, and so it kind of, it's not even about the money that's retained, although the money retained sucks because you're giving extra cap space to the Vegas Golden Knights, which that sucks. It's not much, but it is some, and we know how they like to play with the cap, and giving them any bit of wiggle room sucks. But the thing for me was that we only have three spots for retention, correct?
Correct.
So we're retaining on Burns. We're retaining on one other one, Hurdle, and then we're retaining. There's one other guy. It's Burns. Oh, Carlson. Mm-hmm. So Burns, Carlson, and Hurdle. Burns comes off in 2 years.
Next season.
And then Carlson's a few years out, 4 years, I think.
Yep.
And then Hurdle's 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
2, 4, and 6. Okay. The Sharks are supposed to be getting better, according to Greer, in 2 to 3 years. Right, we're supposed to be pushing to start making playoffs in 2 to 3 years. So prior to those 2 to 3 years, we now have zero retention slots available. So in those 2 years, we have no retention slots available, which means anything that we want to do with taking on a bad contract taking on a contract that's maybe bloated for a player that another team wants so that we can pay for some of it, we can't do that now. That limits our options. That was one of the things I didn't really like about it, is that we don't have those retention slots.
You don't think the GMs are going to meet at some point, maybe not this year, maybe next year, and say, you know what, we're really bad at this, and we need more retention slots, or we need a buyout period where that doesn't count towards your cap space. They've done it before. I absolutely think that this will happen in the next couple of years.
And
they're going to say, we're going to add one more retention slot, or we're going to add a buyout period where you can buy out without a cap hit.
Perhaps. However, other teams have been in the same scenario that we're in right now, and they haven't done that previously, and they didn't do that. They didn't implement that rule.
But there's more teams that have these retention slots locked up now.
Okay.
That GMs are going to be like, this is too much. We need to do something. So I'm not too worried about those being held up. Plus,
I'm going by what the rules are right now, and Sharks, we're 3-for-3.
The Sharks are now at the point where they have to worry about the floor.
Yeah.
Not the ceiling, but the floor. So they have to take on those contracts, not even give them away. They need them. They need those players on the team.
I'm saying in order to facilitate trades to other teams, right, gives us an opportunity to pull some picks and prospects or whatever for being the facilitator and holding on to some of that cash so that it doesn't hit the,
but now
the end team.
They're at the point of taking a first-round pick and taking this player for nothing. Don't give us back anything. Give us a seventh-round draft pick. Here's a first-round and a terrible contract.
Yeah. So, but you're talking about just dumping a bad player. I'm talking about a different scenario. I'm just but that's what I'm saying. We can do that.
They can
that's
no
great.
Longer facilitate stuff like that.
Exactly, and that's part of my issue with it was that for what the 1 point whatever. Why didn't we just take? Couldn't we have just taken the contract of theirs? There's got to be somebody on that roster that they'll happily just give up because that's what Vegas does.
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would have rather gone that route and just had the player. With the, say, $2 million or whatever it is, right? We retained 1 point whatever. So maybe take a $2 million player off of their roster that really should be making $2 million and then trade Hurdle instead of having the retention slot. That would have made more sense to me because it gives us more options. And who cares if we're playing paying some player $2 million and he's not really that great? Doesn't matter, right? Yep. Especially if he's on the team for less than 6 years because the retention is for 6 years.
Or like Vlasic.
Or like Vlasic.
Four more years.
Four more years.
Three more years.
Okay. Anyway, so again, I didn't want to bring up the Hurdle trade again, but we did it anyway.
Two more years.
Vlasic?
Yeah. Sorry.
After this year, two more years. Okay.
That's not bad. They need a veteran presence, all right?
Yeah, they got a lot of veteran presence, though. They got a lot of veteran presence on this team right now.
Do they?
No.
Not on defense.
No, they don't.
What are you talking about?
They're all young. It depends, because if you're 22 years old, then 25-year-old's a veteran, right? So
Mario Ferraro's a veteran at 25, yes.
Nico Sturm, Granlund, there's some guys.
I'm talking about defense.
Oh, okay. I got nothing.
Ruta. That's the only one.
Ruta, there you
That's
go.
That's it.
It's one. And Vlasic. We said this already. Okay.
Right.
Is there anything else, Aaron, that you want to hit on?
No.
No.
Otherwise, we'll go on for another hour.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Save it for next week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Next week, we're going to be on, what, Monday probably?
Monday night.
Okay. And, yeah, so like I said, there's three games for the next week. We've talked about those a little bit, what we're going to expect. Aaron, are you expecting any wins out of this week then?
Yeah.
You are?
I mean, I'm not expecting, but I think it's possible.
Okay.
Of all the weeks left, this is probably the one where they can get another one or two.
Okay. At least. I'm hoping that Pittsburgh beats us because I think Carlson still is like got a little bit something he wants to prove here.
See, I hope we beat Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So that they take that first round pick this year and then give us the next year's unconditional draft pick.
I don't know, man. I think even if they win, you know, if they beat the Sharks, they've got plenty of other teams they can lose to. I'm not too worried about one win. Okay.
Sure.
I think the CBJ, I have no idea. But Chicago, on the other hand, this to me is that 4 point swing.
Yes,
because if you beat Chicago,
oh, I want them. They go to Chicago.
They gain nothing and they jump 2 points. If you lose to Chicago, you gain nothing and they jump 2 points. So it is a 4 point swing.
I hope it's another 7-6 loss because that's exciting. Better than like a 1-0 loss.
Not in overtime.
Not over.
Regulation. 7-6 loss, right. Regulation.
8-6 loss.
Empty netter. Okay, yeah, good. You know what's funny is the Sharks aren't done playing Chicago either. And I think it's the 24th. They play Chicago at home. So that is your opportunity to see Connor Bedard in the Shark Tank, actually. And we'll get to that one next week because that'll be upcoming games. I'm probably going to go to that game. You know what else is happening in that game?
Huh?
The Cricket Scherzi giveaway.
Oh, that's that game?
That's that game.
Excellent.
So pretty sure.
I like that thing.
We'll be doing
that.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. So we'll sync up and we'll figure out.
I know nothing about cricket, but it looks cool.
It's like a weird mutant form of baseball, is all I know about it.
Baseball formed out of cricket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, it's American.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, United States of American, that's me. So, okay.
He's a screaming eagle behind him.
I'm going to throw one.
Anyway, so we will be on the day after the Chicago game. So hopefully You guys are here with us because you, of course, hit the subscribe button, because I told you three times now to hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't, please do that. Again, we are like a weekly show. We don't go on like every day or every other day where there's a cadence where you guys, you know, you're going to be seeing us every day anyway. So we're here once a week. Just let us remind you when we're here, okay? Just hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and then you hop in here with all of your Sharks friends and family so that you guys can be a part of this show. Obviously, a lot of, there's confetti, a lot of fun, I think, in the comments. Thank you guys for being active in there. It's a lot more fun when you guys are doing that. So we do appreciate that. The other thing we appreciate, of course, sharing it out to everybody. Please, it's the best way for us to get out to the other Sharks fans that you guys know, is for you guys to share it to them. So would absolutely appreciate you doing that on whatever social platforms. You can visit the website, as Super Producer Jason has put down there, thefinfactor.com, where you can go and check out any of the merch that we have for sale. You can also go to Venmo, or you can use Super Chat function. Either way, you can get, what were you laughing for? You go either one of those, you would love. No. So Venmo or Super Chat, either way, if you go there, you can put in a comment and let us know if you've got a comment there, and we can go ahead and read that off during the show or the next show, whatever it is. And it's a great way to support the show as well. The Venmo is actually at thefinfactor.com, by the way. Thank you for putting that on the screen, Super Juice Jason. So any one of those ways, great way to support the show. And again, the best way to support it is to get it out there to the rest of Sharks fandom and let them know that we are here and we are chatting. So, anything else, Aaron?
Yeah, there might be one or two spots opening next season for the Fantasy Hockey Group. We have some
guys that I thought you meant leaving for this spot right here. I was like, no, no, not. No. Just two of us.
So, that trophy that's up there in the background, when you win, you get your name hand stamped in there, and it stays on our set. So, you'll be living in infamy.
Hand stamped?
Yeah.
Really?
Hand stamp it, yeah. Wow. I bought a whole thing and I hammer it in there, just like the real Stanley Cup. Graham Montgomery's name is up there. Yeah, he won last year. So
is it crooked?
The first year. Is it what?
Is it crooked? Because you kind of...
Yeah, you should look at it. It right? Looks awful because I did it. So, but it's there forever. anyway, if you are interested, hit us up. What is it? TheFinFactor@gmail.com. Just send an email that you're interested, and I'll save your email for next season if we got a spot or two. So, there you go.
Very good. Well, guys, we do appreciate you being in the show. As Alan, thank you so much for the super chat and supporting that way. We appreciate it very much. And I guess that's it for the show. That's so for Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you guys
next Monday night.
Next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.